This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Special ingredients. The Organic Gardeners. Is Radio 1020 KDKA.
Hi-ho, hi-ho, off to the garden we go. Still plenty of daylight left, still plenty of nice weather to do some things and start thinking already about next year as you're reaping the harvest. And we've got two of the best people anywhere to help you with all of the above. It is Doug Oster, everybodygardens.com, Jessica Wallace, of course, and they both work for the Tribune Review. But the number to dial to be on this great broadcast, and I highly urge you to call early and often, 866-391-1020. Dollar Bank, Instant Access, KDKRadio.com. Texas on the Red Automotive Line, best deal in town. Ashley Funyak is producing today. The Bambino is off. Brock Schneider. So we're going to take the 10th caller to win our first of two giveaways this hour. The first from Randy and Company at Sorgles in Wexford, 412-922-1020. And now, ladies and gentlemen, their microphones have been engaged, and the stage is theirs. Doug Oster and Jessica Walliser. Good morning.
Good morning. I am Doug Oster from Everybody Gardens and the Tribune Review.
And I'm horticulturist Jessica Walliser.
I saw something really beautiful yesterday that I've never seen before. I spooked a whole flock of goldfinches.
Oh.
I mean, like 40 of them.
Were they eating the seed heads in your garden or what?
No,
were they doing?
They were out actually in a kind of a field. I don't know what they would have been eating there. Maybe there were seeds in the field, something, and yeah, they just all of a sudden all went together, and they have that kind of high-pitched, squeaky call, and it was really just the coolest thing.
Oh, neat. And their colors right now, the males, are so vibrant that it's pretty fun to see.
But they change. That's kind of cool.
Right. Yeah. Yeah, they
do. I remember I had a friend, this was a long time ago, and she was like, at the reverse season, when they come from brown back, when the males come from brown back to yellow, she's like, am I going crazy or are the birds changing colors? I'm like, they're changing colors.
You're not going crazy. Or at least not for that reason, you're not going crazy.
All right, next question.
Oh, yes.
What in the heck do you do with stevia? I've got stevia growing.
Oh, yeah. Have you sampled it yet?
No, it's just sitting there growing there with the rosemary and the parsley. And I did it for like TV or something. That's what they had, a stevia plant there for 50 cents. So
yeah,
I put it in.
Yeah. So you should put one of the leaves in your mouth. That's a super high sweetness content. And I can't remember, is it Robinia? Is the extract that's in it that's super sweet? I believe that's what it's called. And you can just take one of those leaves and put it on the tip of your tongue, and it is just intensely sweet.
But how do I use it in
so
the kitchen?
So I have done it in my house. I've made it into an extract. And I got the directions off of the internet somewhere.
Sounds complicated.
It wasn't really. It was like distilling it down. And actually, this recipe was with vodka in a pan and water.
Oh, wait. Right. Now you got my attention.
Exactly. And you cook it down to get the extract of the sweetness out. And then you put it, and the alcohol cooks off eventually.
Oh.
But then you store that extract in a little dropper in the fridge. And then when you want your coffee or to use a sweetener, you can also, I know people who dry it. And then when they make their tea, and you know, if they're making a cup of herbal tea, they throw a few dried stevia leaves in there as well, and then that naturally sweetens the tea as well. But for me, that the dried stevia isn't nearly as intensely sweet as that stevia extract is,
which really didn't take a fun little fall project.
Yeah, and it didn't really take very long to do. I messed up one batch, and for some reason, it didn't turn out right, but then the next batch I did turn out
fine. You can't
be
sampling the vodka when you're making the extract.
I was not sampling the vodka, I promise. I promise. And the alcohol cooks off of it, so you don't have to worry about
that. We've been meaning to talk about this for the last couple of weeks, and I keep forgetting. Our friend Brent Heath from Brent and Becky's Bulbs gave us this great tip to keep crocuses, when you're planting crocuses, keep them chipmunk and vole free just by spraying or soaking them in some kind of animal deterrent, like a Bobex, or he uses plant skid. So I'm going to try that this year. And I think I'm just going to make a little bowl of plant.
That's going to smell
awful.
Oh,
I know. I'm going to have to deal with those like I deal with the Carolina Reaper hot pepper.
Yeah, hold your nose.
Plastic Rubber gloves.
Rubber gloves, yeah. Yeah, like dish, you know, big yellow dishwashing
because I want to put some more crocuses in. Last year, I lost about half of them before, you know, in the fall, I lost them. Usually, I'm losing them in the spring after they out themselves with their flowers.
But I wonder how many seasons that lasts, though. Like, it wouldn't, because then you
probably
get
just
offsets.
It probably gets them established, but, you know, I don't know.
We couldn't protect them forever.
No.
I mean, I've always planted mine, if I really care to keep the chipmunks and voles away from them for a little bit longer, I've always put mine in the crushed oyster shells that you can buy at the feed store, and those real sharp edges, and that seems to work. But even then, once that cluster of bulbs gets bigger than the, you know, the surrounding layer of crushed oyster shells, then they end up eventually finding them anyway. So, yeah. They also sell those little cages. You've seen those, right? It's like a little metal cage.
For some reason, that seems like a real pain to me.
It does to me, too, because you have to dig like a big hole.
Yeah.
I would rather just plant daffodils that they don't eat.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Like, that seems like an easier solution to me.
Yeah, but I want crocuses.
Yeah, I know. Well, and daffodils don't come in purple and all those kind of great colors. Yeah, right. Someday I'll figure out how to do one. So, I love daffodils, and I know they're kind of the foolproof bulb that nobody is going to eat, and that's sort of what I try to stick to just to avoid the problems.
There's, you know, 13 different divisions.
Yeah, there's a great variety.
Great variety.
Definitely.
Do you have a favorite type of daffodil?
I love the miniatures. I mean, even though you don't really, you have to be really close to be able to enjoy them, but I love like the little one. There's a little tiny one called Minnow that is just like the cutest little daffodil ever. I absolutely love it. And I love those double ones like with the pointy petals, like Rip Van Winkle, if you've ever seen that one. That's a really, really unique looking daffodil. And I think those are cool. But I just have a whole big, broad mix. Some you gave me. Some I got years ago from Brett and Becky's Bulbs. And they're just great. They come back bigger and better every year. What's not to love? Brent and Becky's Bulbs. Yep. They have been around forever.
Well, real quick, just a little funny story about Brent. I wrote a story about Brent, and my computer autocorrect Bulbsman to Bluesman. And so my editor called me and said, he's a third generation blues man. I said, no, it's Bulbsman, because Bulbsman, the computer wouldn't know what Bulbsman was.
Right,
so yeah, third
right.
generation, he's been dealing with bulbs. So it's a good place to get bulbs from.
Hey, congratulations to Michelle from Cheswick, winner of that gift certificate from Sorgles. We'll come back. Your phone calls are next. We have some lines available, but they will fill up quickly. So if you have a question for Doug and Jess, I highly urge you to call now, 866-391-1020. Dollar Bank, instant access, kdkradio.com. You can text us on the Red Automotive line, the best deal in town.
Doug and Jessica teach you how to keep it green. The Organic Gardeners. News Radio 1020 KDK.
All right, back on the air with Doug and Jess. Next hour, Tom Boyle is going to drop by. He, of course, from the delis at Coons Market. It's Oktoberfest recipes with Joe and Frank Dentisi. Let's talk to Bethany in Allison. Hey, Becky, how are you? Welcome to KDK.
Hi,
Bethany,
I have a question I'm hoping you can help me with.
Okay.
I have a amaryllis bulb that my daughter brought back from the Amsterdam Tulip Museum, and I don't want to mess it up. I have brought it in. It flowered all summer, and I brought it in about a month and a half ago, and it's just been sitting in bright light, no water, no nothing. And one of the leaves has turned yellow and dropped down. What do I do with it from here on out?
Oh,
you're actually doing the right thing.
You are.
Yeah.
Yep. You're playing it by the book so far, which is great. You haven't done anything wrong. The leaves dying back is a completely natural thing. What has to happen now is the bulb has to shift into dormancy. So stop watering. Where did you say it is? Is it, where do you have it right now?
In a window.
It faces like northeast.
It
doesn't get direct sun, but it is bright light.
Yeah, so take it out of the window and stick it in a corner of the garage somewhere.
In the dark.
Yep. And it doesn't have to be in complete darkness. But just stick it somewhere. And
you know, people put them down in the basement.
Yep.
People, you know.
Cold cellars.
Yeah, just someplace that it's going to be out of the way and it could do its thing in 6-8 weeks. Let's sit there.
Yep. And you're going to get panicked because the leaves are going to turn brown. They're going to die. But that's what you want.
Okay.
And I would let it go 8 weeks.
And actually, when I did an interview with this woman from White Flower Farm, that's all she does is amaryllis. She says it'll tell you when to start watering it again, when it sends up a little little nub from the middle.
Mm-hmm.
So I was going to say, what does it say?
I'm thirsty. I'm thirsty.
So I put it in the dark, in the cool, like in a garage by a window.
Yeah. Yeah, it doesn't even have to be by a window. If you don't have a window in the garage, I mean, just stick it literally in the corner of the garage and completely forget about it. I mean, that don't water it, don't anything for 8 weeks.
And bring it. I bring them back up. I throw them on the windowsill. This is the first time I ever heard that it'll send up something, and that's when you start watering. But I usually just start watering them when I bring them back up, and they do their thing. If they have enough energy stored in that bulb, it'll send up a bud first to bloom. If there's not enough energy in there, it will send up just leaves and no flower. And so then we know we have to keep working on it to try and make that bulb happy and have enough energy the next year to flower. And so to do that,
you got to feed it all summer long.
Yeah.
All right. Dollar Bank Instant Access. Hi, Rob, Jessica, Doug. Just a bit of info about Stevia. I had a reaction to it and did some research. Stevia is a ragweed family. Since I'm allergic to ragweed, I'd advise to avoid Stevia in the future.
Hmm.
Okay.
Yeah. If you're highly allergic to ragweed, I guess I never heard that either.
All right, 866-391-1020, Dollar Bank, Instant Access, kdkradio.com. Here's Bill in Hollidaysburg for Doug and Jess on KDK Radio. Good morning.
Hey, Bill.
Thanks for my call.
What's up?
Hello?
Yeah, go ahead.
I have an oak leaf hydrangea that over the summer it has developed several shoots that growing up. They're anywhere now between 6 and 18 inches tall. And I was wondering if there was any way to transplant those.
Yeah, if they're separate from the mother plant, they sort of shot out of the side of the plant. You can dig.
No, they're like from the roots, you know, like maybe a couple feet away from the plant they started growing.
Yep, that's perfect. And those are great divisions. And you can get down in there with a shovel and separate them from the mother plant. And as long as they have some of those, just a couple at least, little fibrous feeder roots growing off of them, they will make a fine separation, a fine division. It's a great way to make more plants.
Is there a good time to do that? Or
right now is the perfect time. This weather is perfect for dividing, moving, planting,
transplanting.
It's good. You're right at the pinnacle of moving.
Well, that sounds good. Thank you very much.
Good news for Bill.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Thank you.
Thanks, Bill.
More oak leaf hydrangeas. That's great.
Elaine in the North Hills for Doug and Jess on the Organic Gardeners KDK Radio. Good morning.
Good morning, everyone. My husband and I bought a house last year, and we had landscaping done this year after some building was done, because the lawn had been torn up. And we did have a young, a professional landscaper not use any chemicals. We're allergic, and I don't want it. My dog's, a dog in the yard with the chemicals on his feet and stuff. And now I have a yard full of mushrooms, and I want to know how I can get rid of them naturally.
We were just talking about mushrooms
off the air. We were.
I'm going to be spending the day photographing all the fun guy, because I'm a fun guy, and posting it on my website and Facebook and stuff. But I've been getting lots of questions, and I'm sure you have too, Jess, about mushrooms in the lawn, mushrooms near the trees, mushrooms popping up, but nothing to worry about.
Yeah, there really isn't anything to worry about, and there's nothing that you can do. They are just feeding on probably decomposed plant material that is, if there were trees in your home building site at one time, there might be some underground roots that are there. They're just part of the decomposition process for that.
It's
there
pretty cool, though, the way how mushrooms work, don't you think?
Because I think it's amazing.
Sometimes
well, the thing is... we took our dog to see Dr. Mike last week, and I said, do you know anything about it, or do you have mushrooms in your yard? And he goes, yeah. He says, I know nothing about mushrooms. He said, I treat everyone like they're poisonous, and I just pull them out.
Yeah, right. And you can do that. You can just pick them out, put a pair of gloves on and pull them out and if you don't want them in the lawn. But there's really nothing that you can or should apply to the lawn, organic or otherwise, to get rid of mushrooms.
Yeah.
Yep,
okay.
Nothing you can do other than hand removal.
And just one, the warning we always have to give about mushrooms, that's how you do treat mushrooms.
Yep.
Just assume they're poisonous. The only way you can ever eat one is to have a scientist tell you that it's okay to be edible, because most aren't, and they get you really sick, and they can kill you.
Yes, I know. Okay, well, thank you so much. Have a good day. Bye-bye.
Thank you.
All right.
Bye-bye.
What else is on your mind, you two, as we await for more phone calls? 866-391-1020, Dollar Bank, Instant Access.
Well, let's talk about your tomatoes.
Yeah. Ugh. I know I'm not the only local gardener that has faced this issue
thing
in the past few years. So there's a new kid on the block when it comes to pests. And this is happening more and more over recent years. And, you know, a lot of insect ranges, their geographical ranges are shifting. And one of the ones that we're starting to see in our tomato patch nowadays is the leaf-footed bug. And leaf-footed bugs, adults, are very big. They're up to an inch long. And their back legs have what looks like a little leaf or a little feather on the back of them. They're broad at the very end of their legs. And that's hence the name leaf-footed bugs. And actually, it's the adults, but also even more than that are the nymphs, which are very tiny. They grow larger, obviously, as they mature up to that inch-long adult. But when they're young, they're small, they have sort of a suede back, and they have this mouth part that's like a needle. And the adults and the nymphs will feed, and they love to feed on tomatoes.
Like
and
a
you'll
stink
find
bug, kind of same type
like
of feeding?
The same type of feeding as a brown marmorated stink bug. Yep, that needle-like mouth part. They cause sort of like a mottling on the skin of the tomato. And then when you cut into the tomato, inside it's sort of cork-like and white and pale, and the texture isn't right. And they can cause the fruits to actually kind of rot on the vine. And it was actually first brought to attention to me by one of my neighbors who one day I go to get my mail 2 years ago and I open up the mail and there she has like a vial of these bugs.
Isn't
in
it
my
good
mailbox,
to be the bug woman?
Right. With a note that says, Jessica, what are these? And I called her up. I'm like, well, those
let's
are
see, cable
bugs.
Bill, insurance.
Bugs. Yeah. This is not an invitation, by the way, for anybody out there to send me bugs. Please don't do that. But this is one of my neighbors. And
well, let me put your address out there.
Yeah. Let's not do that. And anyway, yeah, and it was leaf-footed bugs. And she said, oh, they're all over my tomatoes. I said, I think it's just a weird year. I don't think it's going to be problematic. And now I'm facing them in my garden as well. And they are almost impossible to control, just like the brown marmorated stink bugs. You know, I used to tell people to put a nylon footie over the fruit to keep the bugs. But these guys have such a tiny little needle-like mouth part, they can get right down through it. And because they have that mouth part, there's pretty much no organic or chemical-based pesticides, not that I would ever recommend you use those in the vegetable garden anyway, that would control them. So it's just a matter of going out and hand-picking them when you see them. But, man, they cause hardcore trouble. So.
Yeah.
Dr. Wong just sent me a text. When's the best time to plant garlic, Doug?
Second week of October. That's when we like to do it. The most important thing is to find the right garlic. So you can't just be garlic out of the store. You've got to go to a nursery or order it from a garlic farm. At this point, I would say, you know, go to a good nursery. They'll have a couple different varieties. I know a Han nursery's got two or three different varieties, but most places are going to have some garlic that you can plant. And it's one of the easiest things to grow. You know, you just take that big garlic head and you're growing it, Jessica. How many years now have you been growing it?
Oh, my gosh. A long time.
Forever.
A long
same
time.
Hair. And you just split up those cloves. And that one little clove, when you plant it just a couple inches deep and 6 inches apart in good soil, will become a whole head of garlic by July, you know. And then you get the greens early in the season when the crocus bloom. You can eat sparingly the greens. And then after that, you get this seed head that comes up called the scape. If it's a hardneck variety, and you remove that and eat that, I make pesto out of them. And then you get the bulb, pull that out in July. If you only have 10 heads, you don't have to really worry about curing it. But in my case, I've got 100. You know, I'm curing it, just hanging it in a tool shed for 3 weeks. And then if you leave the stalks on, they last a lot longer over the winter.
All right. By the way, 10th caller right now wins a $25 gift certificate to Janoski's. Pumpkin Land time is here again. That number is 412-922-1020. Let's go to Tom in the North Hills for Doug and Jess on the Organic Garden. Hey, Tom.
Yeah, I take, you know, my banana peels and all that kind of stuff and, you know, dig a hole in my garden and plant it there. And anyway, last week I was weeding it and I pulled out this plant and it had kind of like a nut on the bottom. And, you know, I threw it off to the side and everything. Then I went back in the house and I thought about it. And I thought, I bet that was an avocado seed that I put out there. So I went out there and I looked for it and I couldn't find it. But I noticed another one that just looked like it. So I dug it up and I transplanted that into a pot that I have in the house. And then I went out back a few hours later, and I found the one I tossed aside, and then I stuck it. It has a nice root on it, and I stuck it in some water. And I'm just wondering how long I should keep it in the water and how successful I will be as far as transplanting it. And should I just always keep it in the house?
I would transplant it right away. You know, avocados are not really plants that we can grow here in our climate.
Right.
So I would put it in a container, you know, plant it in a nice big pot.
Right.
And then you're going to, you know, you can have it outside in the summertime. So move it out, you know, after the danger of frost has passed, put it on the patio, and then move it in the autumn when the temperatures start to get down into the 50s. It'll be time to move it back indoors.
Do you have any flowers or anything?
It probably will not flower. It probably won't get mature enough to do that. And it would be extremely a great big giant surprise if it ever made avocados.
I figured it would never make avocados.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, it's just a cool project to do, though. And it's really fun to see the seeds sprout. And the plants are actually quite beautiful. But, you know, they're huge. It's a huge tree, you know, if left to grow normally in the ground. So when you're growing it in a pot, it's never going to be able to reach its full potential. But still, it's a fun project.
Well, if you had the avocado seeds, like I always threw them out there because I figured there's no shot in them growing. But then I looked on the internet and it showed little toothpicks you hold in the water.
Yep. Some people start them indoors that way. Yeah.
I usually get them sprouting out of my compost pile.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, thank you.
All right. Thank you, Tom.
All right. 866-391-1020. Dollar Bank Instant Access, KDKRadio.com. And you can text us on the Wright Automotive line. The best deal in town. Okay, let's take a look at some of these text messages. What tree can I plant instead of a tall maple tree that really likes sun?
Oh, boy. There's a million different things. I guess the first thing I would talk about is knowing the space, you know, how big that tree is going to get, and finding a tree that, you know, those circumstances where a maple was in the sun, how many, you know, it's almost endless what the tree could be, but you want to find a tree that you would love to see for that long, you know.
Do you want it to flower? Do you,
want
fall color?
Do you want a hickory, shag bark hickory? You want to just see the texture of the bark? What do you want out of the tree? Do you want the nuts or fruits?
Right.
Or, you know, it could be.
How
could
big
be
do you want it to get? 60 feet tall, 20 feet tall, 15 feet tall? I mean, there's a big difference in all of that. So there's a lot of variables. And I think trees are one of those things. And, you know, we talk about this with the Davy Tree Guys all the time. They are long-term investments, so it pays to do your research before you make any decisions. I mean, I can tell you what my favorite trees are, but I don't know your site, and I don't know, you know, what you want to get out of that tree eventually. So it's hard to say.
Go to the nursery, start looking at trees, see something that you like, you know. I say this every time I go out. When you go to the nursery, you're not going there as if you're going to the grocery store, in and out. It's like, take your time, look at what's there, talk to the people, ask them questions. That's what they're there for, you know, by just knowing how big you want to get it. That's the first thing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, okay, I've got this space. I would like to fill this space eventually. But when you make that decision for a tree, like you said, it's a long-term decision, and you're going to be looking at it for a long time, and probably somebody else is going to be looking at it.
When you're not in that house anymore.
Yeah, when you're buried underneath it.
All right, Dollar Bank Instant Access messages, also right out of text messages. The latest, it says, I've been letting my potatoes stay in the soil and digging some up as I need them rather than digging them all up at once and storing them in the basement. Is that okay?
It's okay. The issue that I face when I do that in my garden is the voles, right? The voles love to eat my potatoes. And so I find that if I dig them out about 2 weeks after the plant dies back, that will give the skins enough time to cure. And then they last longer in the storage.
If you didn't have voles, though, you could leave that potato in there.
You could leave that potato. I mean, I would get it out. Certainly, you have to have them out before the ground freezes. There's no doubt about that, unless you get a good thick layer of mulch on there.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking, kind of like a beet.
Yeah, you know, like 5 inches of straw.
If you wanted to leave a few of them in there, and I might even put more than that on there, I might just really lay the straw on and just see if you could get them to... Again, it's just kind of like a... I don't know. You know, it's just kind of a cool thing to be able to go out there in a thaw and pull a potato out. A potato or a beet, when you pull them out in the winter, they're okay.
Mm-hmm.
But they're not like a potato that you're getting out now, which is like, yummy, yummy.
Yeah. Yeah. My thing is, too, like, if you cure them and you store them properly, they will last for months.
Time.
And you don't have to keep going back out into the garden and digging every time. So, you know, yeah, you can keep them that way. For me, it's just because they're such a great storage vegetable, it's just easier to store them, you know, pick them all and store them all at once.
Are you sure you're not a little Italian? Your hands just like...
I talk with my hands. No, I don't think I have... Italian is one
Does
thing I don't think.
Does anybody have a birthday
think.
Here anytime soon, or is there somebody...
Maybe. I don't know.
Okay, well, are we allowed to just say...
Oh,
happy
shoot,
birthday?
I missed it. It was yesterday.
Right. No, it's today.
Oh, it's today. Good, I didn't miss
okay.
it. Oh,
oh thanks.
Happy birthday
I passed
to
the point
you.
Of celebrating.
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, dear Jessica. Turning 29 again.
Again, yeah.
Yeah. She actually...
Who told you that?
Listen, I'm clairvoyant.
He's on Facebook.
No,
went on Facebook. I had it down as
listener
the,
actually just sent me a message.
I had it down as the 26th, and I said last year I sent you a message, happy birthday. You're like, thank you, but it's not till. And then I had it in my head it was the 29th, and then I went on Facebook and I tried to dig through your page. I couldn't find it, and so good. I'm glad we got it. Now I can put it on my calendar.
That's too funny.
And it'll be on there for the whole time.
All right, we are going.
Well,
to...
thanks, guys.
Got to watch those calendars, though. Sylvester, congratulations, by the way, from Cheswick, the winner of our $25 gift certificate. Let's get right back to the phones. And Linda, you're up next, as promised, Center Township. Welcome to KDK Radio and the Organic Gardeners with Doug and Jess. Good morning.
Good morning to you. I have some rhododendron that really look like they need some help. They're not bright green leaves. They're sort of yellowish and a little bit of brownish, and I think they need some food. I just need some help.
Okay, we are happy to help, because what you're describing on your rhododendron is a classic signs of something called chlorosis, which is when the leaves turn yellow, in particular in between the veins of the leaves. So you might see the veins might be deeper green and then the leaves are a little bit yellow. And in broad-leaved evergreens like rhododendrons and azaleas and laurels, that's a clear sign that there's an issue going on in the soil. And it's probably an issue that the soil is not acidic enough for them. Those broad-leaved evergreens love acid soils. And if you're not making regular additions of a granular acid-specific plant food, you'll start to see symptoms of chlorosis. So something like Hollytone is the product that we often recommend.
That's our favorite.
Yep.
Is it too late to put it on now?
No, I think you'd be fine to do it. Now, I mean, you don't want to encourage new growth. So at this point, I'd
Good,
maybe...
Good, because I got like 6 bags of it I bought in the spring that I didn't put on yet.
Oh,
so just
whoops.
Put it on real... Lightly?
Let's see. What are we? End of, yeah, I think it's fine to do now. I wouldn't have done it a month ago, but now you could do it. Or you can even wait to the spring. But by doing it now, it'll help acidify the soil. So, and then when spring arrives and the plant is really ready to start pushing out new growth, the soil pH will already be adjusted.
Is there anything other than the Hollytone? Is there anything like a liquid that I could use with my sprayer?
I mean, there is, but to be honest with you, that's just sort of like the quick little fix that is only temporary. It's not, you know, it's just a Band-Aid for the problem. What you really have to do is get that soil adjusted properly. And I would actually recommend, if you have an extra $10 sitting around, to get a soil test taking on that area just to see what your pH is. And that will help you know exactly how much Hollytone, or sometimes they make the recommendation of elemental sulfur, which is an even longer term change in that soil pH. That'll last you a couple of years. And they could give you recommendations for how much of that to add. And that's really an incredibly worthwhile test with evergreens, because you don't want it to add too much or not enough. In that way, that will really help you hit that target pH.
Great. Sounds good.
Okay.
Do you have time for another question?
Sure. Go ahead.
Okay. I have some Pachysandra that I'm obviously using as ground cover. Some of it looks like it has little white lines, like not, I don't know that they're scales.
Yeah, they are. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Yep. Pachysandra scale. As soon as you described it as little white lines on the leaves,
yes.
Little flecks, right? That's Pachysandra scale. Yeah. And that is a tough nut to crack.
Okay. Any
yeah.
suggestions?
I would do horticultural oil. And actually, the Pachysandra scale is one of the ones that's a little bit easier to control with horticultural oil than something like a magnolia scale would be.
How does it do over the winter?
The scale?
Yeah.
Oh, it's just fine.
No problem.
Yeah, no problem at all. No problem at all. I would actually do one application of horticultural oil. Well, I'm trying to think if she should wait until the spring. I would do an application now. Okay. And then I would do maybe in 14 days, I would do another application. And then I would see how the plant is doing in the spring and see how many of those scale insects you missed that come back. You might have to reapply in the spring. It just depends on how well it does through the winter.
Okay.
Yeah.
Oh, I have my shopping list, and I'll go shopping this afternoon.
There you go. You have your mission. Good luck, Linda.
Thank you very much. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Thank you. Well, big happy birthday to our favorite gardener, Jessica. Have a wonderful day today.
Thanks,
enjoy
guys.
Enjoy with your family and your friends.
I'm going to have my cake and eat it, too.
Mm-hmm.
Let them eat cake.
Remember, the organic gardeners always aim to create a better place to garden.
And a safer place to live.
Speaking of cake, nobody does it better than Coon's Market, ladies and gentlemen. So we may want to head out to that bakery and get Jessica a birthday cake today. Listen, ladies and gentlemen, stay with us because Todd Boyle's going to be here. Oktoberfest, you know, big heaping portions of mashed potatoes, Wiener Schnitzel, brats. Hey, sauerkraut. We're going to discuss it all, and I hope you'll join us for that. We want to get your favorite recipes at 866-391-1020, Dollar Bank, Instant Access, KDKRadio.com, and you can text us on the Red Automotive Line, the best deal in town. Good morning.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.